Praise God. It's another good morning that God has given us to listen to his word. I trust that you are well and the Lord is keeping and watching over your life. You know, as we have been studying the book of Colossians, we're still in chapter 1. And yesterday we were able to see the aspect of the firstborn, where Christ is described as the one who is the only begotten Son of God. It's the first prototokos, which means a prototype, one that has supremacy, one that is not necessarily about chronological birth, but it is one that is the first, one that has the right of the inheritance, one that has been given dominion over everything. And when we say he is a firstborn over all creation, does not mean that he is a creature. He's not a created being, but he is the ruler. He is firstborn. And by us believing in Christ, we also become partakers of the same firstborn nature. Because God, when he spoke of Israel, he said, Israel is my firstborn, is my son, my firstborn. And because you have touched my firstborn, I will kill your firstborn. He was speaking to Pharaoh. So whenever you are the firstborn of God, it means that you have the double inheritance, you have the double portion, you're given the right, the authority over everything, and all things are held by you. And this is the authority that was given to the Christ. The Bible says that God has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee in heaven and on earth must bow to the name of Jesus. So today we will carry on with that, and today we'll look at the aspect of creation. Colossians 1:15 says, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. The Bible says, verse 16, for by him, and here we are speaking of Christ, Jesus Christ, for by Jesus Christ, by Christ, all things were created that are in heaven and that are on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist, or all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. You see, we've been looking at these aspects of the description of Christ. And one, we say that he is the image of God. That means he's not a replica of God, but he is the exact image of God. That means if you want to see God, you see Christ. He's the exact representation, the brightness of his person, of his image, and that by all things, the Bible says he is the firstborn over all creation, or the firstborn of all creation. That means he is the one that has the headship. He's the one that has the rulership. If you go to John chapter 1, verse 1, it says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word is God. And all things were made by him and through him. Without him, nothing was made. So the Word is Christ. The Word is a pre-existent God. It's God the Father, who is Abba, the source of all things. And from him come forth the Word, the begottenness of the Word. And also from him proceeds the Spirit, who is the rod of his strength. So there is a union of the Word and the Spirit that results in creation. Go back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was formless and void, and the Spirit of God hovered over the waters, and God said. So we see again the Trinity. We see that God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was formless and void. And then how does he now create the earth out of the waters? How does he create the land? How does he create the plants, the sky? He says the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters and God spoke. So the word was there. Who spoke? God, the Father, the source of all things, Abba. The Bible tells us that the Father, God, dwells in unapproachable light, in whom no eye can see and live. That means that God, in fact, someone will ask, where was God when he created? Because we say that heaven is his throne room and earth is his footstool. But where was he when even he created the heavens itself? So you can think of the majesty of God, that God dwells in God. God dwells in himself. He does not need anything or anyone. He was already complete in perfect communion with the Word and the Spirit, the Father, the Word, and the Spirit. They're already in complete perfect harmony. And then he spoke. He came to create an expression of himself. That's why the Bible says that he tells us that he is the firstborn over all creation. And he says, for by him, by Christ, by the Word. Remember, Christ is the Word. The Bible says all things were created. Now you can think about it. It says all things were created, things in heaven and things on the earth. And I want you to picture this. For us, we know the creation of physical things that we can see. We know the creation of the soil. We know the creation of the plants. We know the creation of, you know, of humans. We know the creation of you know, anything tangible. When we think about that creation, it's something that we can see. But then think about the creation of things that cannot be seen. Now, God created the heavens that are an actual place, but it is of a different kind, a spiritual kind. You know, that is why there is a celestial and the terrestrial. The terrestrial refers to the earth that has space, matter, weight. But then you have the celestial, which are heavenly bodies. This is where the angels come in. This is where the living creatures are. This is where heaven itself is. This is the world of spirits, where they are actually real, created, yes, but they don't have bodies. They don't have, sorry, earthly bodies that we can touch and feel, but they have spiritual bodies that are in the realm of the invisible. That means that if right now, and how can you picture it? Think of it right now. You have germs on your hands. But you're not able to see those germs, even though those germs are there. Why? Because they exist in another realm, which is the microscopic realm. Now, in the microscopic realm, it is a real realm that exists, but it is in a realm that is below, far much lower of your vision, that your vision needs the accentuation. It needs the amplification of microscopes. In fact, not even just the normal microscopes. You need the electron microscope, which is up to the power of something. Now, that world of the microbes exists. Even though you ignore it, it is still there. Even though you fight it, it is still there. Why? Because it is part of the creations of God. Now, the realms of the microbes exist. You know, the God uses the natural things to teach us spiritual things. And this is how Jesus taught. Jesus used the things that we understand. He used the farm to illustrate the teaching of the word. Say the seed is the word of God. One seed fell on the rocks.
One field seed fell on the path, the other fell among the thorns, but then the other fell on good soil. Speaking all his words, speaking to people. Now picture this, that we're using the microbes, which are a world that exists. We cannot see it with our eyes, but we cannot deny that it exists. Likewise, it is the same for the spiritual, that it is a world that exists. We cannot see it with our physical eyes unless God amplifies our eyes, gives us a power, a spiritual opening of our eyes. Yes, I know there are people who will use other demonic means to open that spiritual eye, and that is not of God. But you see that which God allows you to see. And how do you see it? You see it in dreams. You can see it in visions. You can see it in open visions, in trances. Why? Because God brings you into his realm, because God is spirit. The spirit is not seen by the physical eye. But spirit is seen by the spiritual eye. That God can show you tomorrow. God can show you what will happen, what you will face, the struggles you will face. He can show you an accident coming ahead, and it is your job to avoid it. It's your job to pray against it. It's your job to avoid that fruit. But if you ignore it and you find yourself in heaven, then he will say, but I showed you. Your life is cut short, not out of anything that you can blame God with, but because you did not take heed of what he showed you. Amos 3:7 says, surely the sovereign Lord does nothing without revealing his plan first to his servants, the prophets. So anything that God is going to do on the earth, he is going to reveal it to his servants. When you're a servant of God, then you do not walk in darkness. God desires that we do not walk in darkness. He wants us to see tomorrow. Now God says, there are things that he has created in the heavens and on the earth. There are angels mighty that we will never be able to understand. And the scripture tells us, John the Revelator tells us, that he saw this mighty angel who stood with one leg in the sea and one leg on the earth. And his face was bright. It had the brightness of the rainbow. And he had a little book, and he gave him. And he told it. And the man took the book and ate it, and it was sweet to his mouth, but sour in his stomach. And then he told him, now you shall prophesy to kings, to nations, to peoples, many peoples. So he encountered an angel. Yet also, there was also the angel that came to Zechariah. Physical, he could see with his naked eye. And he tells him, I'm Gabriel, and I stand in the presence of God. There's Angel Michael, who is the defender of Israel. There are various creations in the supernatural, in the spiritual, that are created by God. Think of Ezekiel when he is by the river Chebarbah, and he sees visions of God, and he sees the living creatures. And he tells you that these are creatures that have the face of a man, the face of an ox, the face of an eagle, the face of a lion, four faces. And then they have on their feet, they have wheels. And all the wheels have eyes. And the wheels move in any direction because the living creatures carry the throne of God. And because as the Spirit of God moves over the whole earth, wherever it goes, from the north, east, west, south, the living creatures carry the throne and move it and move it and move it like flashes and beams of lightning. And he says, the one on the throne, he was seated, his face is like the brightness of the sun. You know, the rainbow, the jasmine, you know, all the colors, all the unapproachable light. And that is the image that God wants us to see of him, of the Christ. Now, God is saying that all these creations, he is the one that made them. By faith, the worlds were framed by the word of God. He set the foundations. You know, science tells us that if the earth was just to move an inch closer to the sun, part of the earth will burn and the other part will freeze. That means God is so perfect in his dimensions that he can float. He can stabilize the earth through the center of gravity of the sun. We don't get closer to the sun. We don't move away from it. That is why people will keep struggling, looking for life elsewhere, yet they don't understand that life is from God. It is God that has set the foundations of this earth. He has laid the measurements, the exact measurements. And he is the one that sustains everything. Each and every day, scientists will come up with new discoveries. They're only discovering what God has created. When they speak of the Milky Way, the galaxies, they tell you there are countless and countless of constellations and stars that are millions and billions and trillions of light years away, yet he knows them. The Bible says he calls forth the starry host by name. He calls them by name. Now, God is so vast that he can count the stars that we are still discovering. And yet he also knows the exact number of hairs on your head. And not just of you alone, but of the 8 billion people on the earth that are currently there. He knows each and every one of them by name, by their fingerprint, by the number of hairs. He knows how many of your hairs fell off when you combed your hair today. He knows it. And he says, why worry? Why worry? So Christ is the creator of all things. So those that wanted to worship angels, he's telling you that I created the angels. Why are you bothering yourself worshiping created things? And this is where God was angry. And that is why when Paul speaks about it, they exchanged the glory of God for things created. When men create an idol, they create it in the image of animals, in the image of angels, in the image of spiritual beings, but they are making it in the image of a created thing, not in the image of God. They exchanged, they denied, they refused the glory of God, and so he handed them over to a depraved mind, to a depraved mind, and that is why they exchanged themselves for natural things. And the Bible says there are millions and millions and millions of angels. The invisible realm is created by God. Even the devil himself is created by God. That's why God says, I am the one who created the destroyer to work havoc. That's why he says, now no weapon that is fashioned against you shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against you, you, servant of God, shall rebuke in judgment. You shall rebuke in judgment. Says this is the heritage of the servants of God. The children of God, this is your heritage. And my vindication is from him. That means he confirms your word. He's the one that vindicates it. The mystery of godliness is this, that God appeared in the flesh as a man. He was seen by angels. He was crucified. He resurrected. And he is glorified. So there is the vindication. The vindication is a confirmation of God to the word that you have spoken. So vindication comes from God, but the refuting is by you. It is you that speaks, and the power of God flows in the direction of his voice. When you speak what you have heard, when you speak what he has shown, then his word, his power is accompanying his word. Now you can imagine how God was so majestic that he just speaks things and they appear. Let there be light. And light that was in the mind of God, how God wanted light to be, light had to come. He said, let the plants appear. Where plants were in the mind of God, in the exact, with the seed in them, the capacity to reproduce was in them. And they come forth. And you see, God creates once. That's why the Bible says his works of creation are finished. He entered into rest. He rested on the seventh day. God did not make something to go back again to it. No. He creates everything with the potential to regenerate, to reproduce. Everything that you ever needed on the earth is already here. There is nothing new under the earth. When they are discovering gravity, they are just bringing to light what God had already established. When they discover light, God had already created light before. When they are discovering the waves, the radio waves, the sound waves, that had already existed. There is nothing new under the sun. How do they make the planes, the fighter jets, all that? By studying the birds. The law of aerodynamics was already established by God. So everything you wanted to succeed, study nature. Why? Because God is the number one creator. He's the one that makes systems to function. He's the one that enables, he gives the ratios that enable certain birds to fly and others cannot fly. He's the one that gives the ratio in weights, in bones, in structure, in speed, in movement. And that's why the Bible says, since the beginning of the creation, God has made everything, his invisible qualities, to be known to all men so that no man is without excuse. There is no excuse that God does not exist. The scientists will argue, but at the end of the day, they will say, this can only be the work of an intelligent design, an intelligent being. Why? Because you cannot make order out of chaos. They'll tell you the Big Bang Theory, but there is no way you can make order out of chaos. It is the work, the perfect harmony, the perfect synchronicity, the perfect thought process of a creator, and the creator is Christ. The Word, the Bible says that all things were made by him and through him and for him. When it speaks of the devil, he says, you are in Eden when you are created, when you are brought forth, when all the precious stones were placed in you, music was under your wings and all that. Until iniquity was found in your heart and you are cast forth from Eden. So the enemy that we fear so much is a created being. And that's why the Bible says, submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. He has told you there is one that we submit to and we receive authority over everything. And the Bible lists them. It says, whether they be thrones, whether they be powers, whether they be principalities, whether they be forces, whatever it is that they want to be called, all things were made by him. The spiritual was made by God. The physical too was made by God. It is easy for us to understand the physical, and that's why I will not bother much on it, but the Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God. The earth, the sky, they sing forth his praises day and night. When the sun comes out like, you know, like a soldier or like a warrior marching forth from the morning, from the east to the west, that is a display of the glory of God. And the Bible says all things were made by him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist, all things hold together. He fills everything. And that is why when you understand that, the best that we can do is worship him. Bow down and worship him. Bow down and say, Father, thank you that you made all things for your glory. All things were made for the glory of God. We too, as men, were meant to bring him glory. that many live as lives that do not bring glory to God. Many live lives of their own. Many live lives without understanding who God is and what God has done and what God continues to do. Our aspect must be to worship Him. He is the Lord of all creation. He is the firstborn over all creation. All things were made by Him and for Him. And because we know that, we fear nothing. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your word. Thank You for Your truth. Thank You that, Lord, You are creator over all things. All things were made by You and for You. And through You and by You, all things hold together. I thank You for life in us. The life that You've given us, the creation, everything, be it visible, be it invisible. Things that we can see, things that we cannot see. Everything that was made by Your power. Indeed, You hold it all together. We worship You. We worship Your throne room. We worship Your greatness. We worship You that You are our Father, that You have loved us. And by virtue of Your authority, You've also called us to share in it. May Your name be glorified, be exalted. Thank You for everyone that is going through any challenge. That indeed nothing defeats You. Nothing is beyond Your power. I thank You that You are the one that makes everything new. Thank You for new bones, new health, new organs, new kidneys, new hearts. Healing supernatural that only comes from Your throne room. May Your name be exalted, be magnified, and be lifted up on high. Thank You that this day is ordered, is guided by You, is strengthened by You. We are led by You. We walk in fullness, we walk in grace, we walk in abundance. We honor, we adore You, and we give You glory. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Shalom, and blessed day.